on offense. He won't stop going on about getting to kick Gleam's ass. He pauses, as if listening to his dragon. Guess dragons hold grudges, he finally whispers. Leadership is gathered ahead of us, getting their assignments from Zayden.
We're definitely on offense, Rhiannon answers from my left. Otherwise, we'd already be in the field. I haven't seen a single rider from First Wing since lunch.
My stomach bottoms out. First Wing. Go figure they'd be our first opponent. Anything goes out there during war games, and Jack Barlow hasn't forgotten that I put him in the infirmary for 4 days. He gave me a wider berth for weeks after Zayden executed Orin and the other kids who had attacked me. And of course, everyone stopped fucking with me after Amber Mavis. But still, I'd catch a look from him as we passed in the halls or in the cafeteria, pure hatred burning in the glacial blue depths of his eyes.
I think she's right, I tell Liam, struggling not to fidget as the sun bakes through my flight leathers. It's been a while since I've envied the scribes and their cream uniforms, but this weather has me feeling like we got the shorter end of the uniform stick. It also doesn't help that I must have slept wrong because my knee is killing me, and the stabilizing wrap feels like it's a million degrees. Why do you think riders wear black anyway?
Because it's badass, Riddick answers from behind me.
So it's harder to see when we bleed, Imogen chimes in.
Forget I asked, I mumble, watching for any signs that the leadership meeting will be over soon. Bleeding is the last thing I want to do today.
Are we on offense or defense? I ask Zayden.
Little busy right now.
Oh no, am I distracting you?
A smile curves my mouth.
Shit, am I flirting?
Maybe.
Do I care?
Oddly enough,
no.
Yes. His tone is so gruff that I have to press my lips in a tight line to keep from laughing.
Come on. You're taking forever over there. Give a girl a hint.
Both, he growls, but he doesn't shut me out with his shields, which I know he can do. So I have a little mercy on him and the meeting he's supposed to be leading and leave him be. Offense and defense. This afternoon should be interesting.
You hear from Mira? Rhiannon whispers, shooting me a quick glance. I shake my head. That's just inhumane.
Did you honestly think they'd break the no correspondence rule? Even if they tried, Mom would have shut that down with a quickness. Rhiannon sighs, and I don't blame her. There's not much more to say on the subject. The leadership meeting breaks up, and Dane heads over with Sienna. He's practically beaming, his hands clenching and unclenching with nervous energy.
Which is it? Heaton asks. Offense or defense?
Both, he says, as the other squad leaders report back to their riders. I fake surprise and glance past him, but Zayden and the section leaders are nowhere to be seen.
First Wing has taken a defensive position in one of the practice forts in the mountains, and they're guarding a crystal egg, Dane tells us, and the older riders in our squad murmur with excitement.
Makes sense. It's probably a symbolic nod to the different breeds of dragons bringing their eggs to Besgaeth when Navarre unified.
What are we missing? Riddick asks, because you guys seem thrilled about an egg.
From past years, we know that eggs are worth more points, Sienna says, grinning enthusiastically. Flags have statistically been the lowest, and captured professors rank somewhere in the middle.
But they like to switch it up, Dane adds. The same way we could be going for a real objective on the line, only to discover it's not as valuable as we thought.
So how is this both offense and defense? Rhiannon asks. If they have the egg, then clearly we should go get the egg.
Because we've also been given a flag to defend and no outpost to do it in, he grins. And our squad has been assigned to carry it.
You gave Dane the mission to defend Fourth Wing's flag?
I'm hoping he learned something from your sister's lesson at Montserrat, Zayden replies, but his voice is quieter, which I'm starting to learn means he's farther away. I can't help but wonder if we'll have the ability to communicate this way in a few months when more distance separates us. My chest aches at the thought that he won't be here. He'll be risking his life on the front lines.
And who is going to carry this flag? Imogen asks.
Dane somehow manages to smile even wider.
That's going to be the fun part.
Over the next 20 minutes, we're drilled in strategy during the walk over to the flight field, and from the sound of it, Dane was paying attention to Mira. The plan is simple. Play to our individual strengths and pass the flag often, never giving First Wing a chance to spot who is carrying it. When we get to the flight field, there are dozens upon dozens of dragons filling the muddy field, all positioned as though they had formation in their squads, too. It's easy to spot Tarn, seeing as his head rises above all others. There's a palpable air of anticipation as we walk by the other squads, all mounting as the squad and section leaders give out last-minute orders.
We're going to win, Rhiannon says with confidence, linking her arm with mine as we approach our section of the field.
What makes you so sure?
We have you, Tarn, Ryerson, and Sigale.
And obviously me, she grins.
There's no way we're losing this.
You certainly are. My words die as Tarn comes into full view. He stands tall and proud at the front of our section, not bothering to give deference to Cath as Dane's dragon. But it's not his position that steals my breath. It's the saddle strapped across his back that has me gawking.
I hear it's all the fashion, Tarn brags.
I don't even have words. The black metal bands look to be intricately linked as they loop around each foreleg and come together at the front of his chest, forming a triangular plate before rising above his shoulders to a saddle with strapped, secured stirrups. That's a saddle.
That's cool, that's what that is, Rhiannon thumps my back. And it looks way more comfortable than Fierge's bony spine, I'll tell you that. See you up there. She walks past Tarn toward her own mount.
I can't use that, I shake my head. It's not allowed.
I decide what's allowed and what's not, Tarn growls, lowering his head to my level and blasting me with a chuff of steam. There is no rule that says a dragon cannot modify their seat to serve their rider. You have worked just as hard, if not harder, than every rider in this quadrant. Just because your body is built differently than the others doesn't mean you don't deserve to keep your seat. It takes more than a few strips of leather and a pommel to define a rider.
He's right, you know, Zayden agrees as he approaches, and I briefly wonder where he'd gone that he's back so quickly. No one asked you. My pulse jolts, and my skin flushes at the sight of him. Our uniforms make every rider look good, but Zayden takes even that up a notch with the way it cuts across the muscled lines of his body.
If you don't use it, I'll take personal offense.
He folds his arms across his chest and studies the rigging.
Considering I had it made for you and just about got myself burned alive in the process of trying to get it on him.
He lifts a brow at Tarn, even though he helped design it, I might add.
The first models were unacceptable, and you had the gall to pinch my chest scales when clumsily assembling it this morning.
Tarn's golden eyes narrow on Zayden.
How was I to know the leather from the prototype would burn so easily?
And it's not like there are a lot of manuals on fitting a saddle to a dragon, Zayden drawls. It doesn't matter because I can't use it. I turn to face Zayden. It's beautiful, a marvel of engineering.
And?
His jaw locks. And everyone here will know I can't keep my seat without it. Heat stings my cheeks.
Hate to break it to you, Violence, but everyone already knows that.
He gestures to the saddle. That right there is the most practical way for you to ride. It has straps across your thighs to buckle yourself in once you're up. And theoretically, you should be able to change positions on long flights without unbuckling, since we built in a lap belt, too. Theoretically? He wasn't amenable to me giving it a test flight.
You can ride me when the flesh rots off my bones, wing leader.
Well, that was descriptive.
Look, there's no rule against it. I checked. And if anything, you'll be doing Taren a favor by freeing all his power and taking the weight of worry off his mind. Mine too, if that helps matters.
My fingernails bite into my palms as I search for another reason. Another excuse. But there isn't one. I might not want to appear different than every other rider on this field. But I already am.
Fuck, that stubborn, feisty look always makes me want to kiss you.
Zayden's expression remains bland, bored even, but his eyes heat as his gaze drops to my mouth.
And you say this now, where people will see if you actually do. My breath catches.
When did I ever give you the impression that I give a fuck what people think about me?
A corner of his mouth rises. And now it's all I can concentrate on.
Damn him. I only care what they think about you.
Because he's a wing leader. Nothing is worse than cadets gossiping that you've slept your way to safety. That's what Mira warned at Parapet.
Mount up, Sorengale. We have a battle to win.
I rip my gaze from his and study the exquisite, intricate structure of the saddle.
It's beautiful.
Thank you, Zayden.
You're welcome.
He turns but leans into my space, and a shiver dances down my spine when his lips brush my ear.
Consider my favor fulfilled.
Is that a saddle? I jump back from Zayden, but he doesn't budge an inch as Dane interrupts, holding a giant yellow flag on a 4-foot pole, his eyes wide as he stares at Taren.
No, it's a collar,
Taren snips, snapping his teeth together. Dane backs up a few steps.
Yes, Zayden answers. Have a problem with it?
No. Dane looks at Zayden like he's being unreasonable.
Why would I have an issue with it? I'm fine with whatever keeps Violet safe, if you haven't noticed.
Good. Zayden nods once and turns toward me.
Bet it would be even more awkward if I kissed you now, huh?
Yes, please. The next time we kiss, had better not be just to piss off Dane. The next time had better only be because we want it.
Next time, huh?
His gaze lowers to my mouth again. And of course, now that's all I'm thinking about. The feel of his lips on mine, the way his hands always cradle the nape of my neck. The slide of his tongue. I stop myself from leaning in, barely.
Go lead your wing, or do whatever it is you do.
I'll be stealing an egg. His smile flashes before he turns back to Dane.
Keep our flag out of First Wing's hands.
Dane nods and Zayden leaves, heading across the field to where Sigale waits.
It's a great saddle, Dane says.
It is, I agree. And Dane offers me a smile before walking toward Cath. Moving toward Taren's foreleg, I have to laugh as he dips his shoulder for me.
What, no ladder? We thought about it and decided it would make you too vulnerable.
Of course you thought about. I pause before climbing when a flash of gold gallops toward me.
And Darna? I want to battle too. She skids to a halt directly in front of me.
My mouth opens and shuts. And Darna has been flying with us, and for short times. She can keep up with Taren. But the way those scales shine in the sun is like a beacon for everyone. But if I can have a saddle, then
got it.
My eyes sweep the flight field,
which is at the height of its muddiest since the runoff season from the snowy peaks above.
Go roll, I point to the mud. Unless that's going to mess with your wings?
It's the scales on your belly I'm most worried about being easily spotted.
No problem.
She races off, and I mount Tarn, finding the actual saddle covering the seat at the base of his neck and the pommel scales.
I thought you said leather was bad.
The saddle itself is sumptuous black leather, complete with two raised pommels for my hands, and when I settle in, it fits like a dream. I bend and adjust the stirrups with the buckle system on the straps.
The leather is a hazard on my chest if we take a fire attack, since your saddle would slide right off. But if you take a direct blast up there, sitting on a piece of metal isn't going to save you.
I don't bother pointing out that the only fire we'd be taking is from other dragons, which is a problem that doesn't exist since griffins are all beak and claw. Instead, I find the straps for my thighs and buckle in.
This is ingenious, I say to Zayden.
Let me know if it needs modifications after we win today.
Arrogant ass. We're airborne moments later, and Darna keeping up and staying tucked close to Tarn just like we've practiced. Our mission is to keep the flag out of enemy hands, so we skirt the perimeter of the 100-mile battlefield that encompasses most of the central range while the other squads handle reconnaissance and retrieval. About an hour into the afternoon, I'm wondering if this assignment is actually meant as punishment for Dane and not an honor. The 12 of us are split into two tight formations of six, seven when taking Undarna into account. Dane has the flag in his group just ahead of us. And when we reach yet another peak in the range, he splits to the right. Tarn banks to the left and my stomach pitches as we sweep down the side of the mountain. The wide straps dig into my thighs, holding me firmly in place. And my heart thunders as pure exhilaration hits as hard as the rush of winds against my face and goggles as we dive and dive and dive. And for the first time, there's no fear that I'll tumble off his back. Slowly, I unclench my hands from the pommels, and a heartbeat later, my hands are above my head as we plummet toward the valley below. I've lived 20 years and never felt as alive as I do in this moment. Without even grounding in my archives, power surges in my veins, crackling with a life all its own, jolting every single one of my senses to a degree that nears pain. Tarn flares his wings, catching air and pulling out of the dive.
You're going to have to work on those shoulder muscles, Silver One. We'll practice this week.
Leaning as far as I can out of the saddle, I see Andarna clutched in Tarn's claw as we level out in a glide along the valley floor.
Thanks, I've got it now, Andarna says, and Tarn lets her free.
Power rattles my bones, as if it's looking for a way out, and I force myself upright. It's different than usual. Like instead of standing ready to be molded by my hands, it wants to mold me. A moment of fear skitters along my spine. What if the backlash of power from not manifesting a signet has chosen today to finally release? I shake my head. I do not have time to worry about what might happen. Not in the middle of the war games. My power is just feeling free because I'm finally not so focused on falling out of my seat. That's all it is. Sitting tall in the saddle, I sweep my unsteady gaze along the landscape as Tarn begins to climb again, and my heart stutters. Up high on the western ridgeline is a gray tower that almost blends into the cliffside. I would have missed it if not for the...
Is that what I think it is?
Fear only feeds the uncontrollable energy prickling my skin. Tarn's head is already turned in that direction.
Dragons.
I glance over my shoulder toward Liam and Rhiannon and see that Tarn must have relayed the message, because we break formation, scattering as three dragons launch from the cliff above us, diving in different directions. We've given them multiple targets, but now we'll face them one-on-one. A hail of ice pellets strike my skin, bouncing off Tarn's scales, but he's forced to tuck his wings in tight to avoid damage.
My stomach launches into my throat as we freefall, the valley floor rising up at us at an alarming rate. Heat and energy threaten to devour every inch of my body, and even my eyes feel like they're on fire. Oh, fuck. My signet is going to backlash against me during the games.
Ground now!
Tarn roars. I slam my eyes shut, throwing both mental feet onto the marble floor of the archives and throwing up the walls around me, only leaving entrances for Tarn's torrent of power and Darna and access to Zayden, and I immediately feel more in control. When I open my eyes, we're ascending, Tarn's wings beating with so much force that I slide back in the saddle with every push. He's left the ice-wielding first wing cadet in a dive behind us, and I cringe as the dragon barely controls the descent, banking in the opposite direction we're headed. That's where they're guarding the egg. It has to be, considering another three dragons have taken the place of the others at the edge of the cliff, ready to launch.
Agreed. Hold tight.
Tarn barely has a second to shout before a dragon flies out of the valley to the right and blasts a stream of fire at us.
Tarn! I scream, watching in horror as the flames barrel toward us. Tarn banks, taking the blast straight to his belly, shielding me from all but the sizzling heat that blazes by. What the actual fuck? And Darna?
If something happens to her because First Wing is out for blood.
Fireproof, remember?
I let out a shaky breath, one worry down, but the other dragon is on our heels, opening its mouth and curling its tongue. Tarn jerks and his tail swings, catching the offending dragon in the side just below its wing. The other dragon roars, falling sideways, losing altitude at an alarming rate. But I don't focus on the descent. Instead, I use the time to scan the mountainside for the outpost I spied earlier. My heartbeat quickens as I spot it peeking out from a ridge, only one remaining dragon guarding it.
Zayden, the egg is here, I relay.
Already on my way. We're 20 miles out.
The edge of panic lacing his tone puts a knot of fear in my throat, which only grows when I see Day and Liam locked in battle above us with a familiar orange scorpion tail.
Bade. Check.
We have to help Liam.
On it.
Tain accelerates and Andarna falls away. Once I see her tuck into the mountainside where she'll be safe, I hunker down on Tarn's neck, giving him less wind resistance to fight as we climb faster than ever before. Wind yanks at the halo braid of my hair, the loosened strands whipping at my face as I keep my eyes locked on Day and Liam. Bade snaps her tail at Day, the venomous bulb perilously close to Day's throat.
His scales are thicker than you think. It's Liam who's in danger.
Tarn warns, climbing higher. We're almost there when Jack unsheathes his sword and jumps from Bade's back to Day's, catching Liam by surprise as the dragons grapple close to the tower we're approaching at breakneck speed. There's barely time for Liam to gain his feet before Jack thrusts the sword through his side.
Liam!
The scream tears from my throat as Jack kicks his boot into Liam's stomach, forcing Liam's body off the blade and Day.
No, no, no!
Liam falls, his arms flailing as he plummets ahead of us.
Catch him!
I demand, afraid we won't make it. Day and Bade collide with the tower, and I glimpse Jack rolling to safety on the highest turret. His sadistic grin wide enough to see from here as Tarn changes course with a dramatic right roll. Only the leather straps across my thighs keep me seated as we chase Liam's tumbling body. Tarn's wings tucked in tight, but the outcroppings are too close and we're too high.
No!
My throat closes. I refuse to lose him. Not when he's dedicated so many months of his life to keeping me alive. Failing isn't an option. It's just not.
And Darna!
I cry, already throwing open the window in my mind to where her glittering gift lies in wait.
Do it, she answers. Focus on everything except you and Tarn.
She's right. There's no point in me catching up to Liam if Tarn is frozen.
Do it!
I reach for the golden power and my back arches as it barrels down my spine, flooding through my fingers and toes, enveloping every cell in my body before blasting outward in a shockwave that passes over Tarn. Suddenly, we're the only ones moving, plunging through a windless sky toward Liam's frozen body mere feet from the rugged outcropping of rocks below. Heartbeats. That's all we have. My entire body trembles with the effort to hold it, the power flowing from Endarna ebbing as Terran extends his wings and claw, snatching Liam's body from midair and taking out the rocks with the force of his tail as we barely escape death ourselves.
Got him.
Time snaps back, wind blasting me in the face as we climb, turning tightly to avoid colliding with the ridgeline. Endarna?
Safe.
Her voice is barely a whisper in my head. Wrath and fury boil my blood as my eyes lock onto the figure on top of that tower. This is the last time this asshole will come after my friends or me. Fierge appears from below, Rhiannon's arms outstretched as they rise beneath us. Tern slows just enough to transfer Liam to her. He's alive. He has to be. It's the only outcome I'll accept. In my peripherals, I see Kath and other dragons arrive from the north just as another squad launches from the cliff above. Bade is airborne behind us, racing toward her asshole of a rider who is still gloating on the top of that fucking tower. Climb, I order, unsheathing a blade at my ribs and leaving one hand free to unsnap the buckles when it's time.
You will not unseat yourself,
Tern bellows at me as we surge forward, leaving the smaller orange dragon behind us. He swivels his head left, blasting a stream of fire toward the line of first-winged dragons to warn them off, and succeeding as we barrel past. A growing power sizzles in my chest as I lock my gaze on Jack. I can see the sick pleasure on his face as we fly closer, the blood that drips from his sword, Liam's blood. An enormous dragon appears on the horizon. I do not need to look or even open my feelings to know it's Zayden, but I can't spare a moment for him. Tern is climbing faster than we've ever climbed, and power is racing along my skin, scorching my blood. If this is it, if my power is backlashing, then I'll be damned if I don't take that asshole with me. Tern is fireproof, but not Jack. Faster! I shout, my voice desperate with worry we won't make it in time. Tern charges the tower, his wings beating faster and faster, and I instinctually throw my hands forward, as though I can project all this power lashing within me toward the enemy who just tried to kill my friend, who has done his best to kill me at every opportunity. That sizzle of magic grows to a lethal swirling vortex of energy, and though my feet are still firmly grounded, the power rises to a breaking point and the roof of my archives disintegrates. Power crackles above me, swirls around me, wraps along my feet below me. I am the sky and the power of every storm that has ever been. I am infinite. A scream rips from my throat just as lightning splits the sky with a terrifying crack of thunder. The bluish streak of silver death slams into the tower, and sparks flare as it explodes in a blast of stone. Tern banks to avoid the blast, and I pivot in the saddle. Jack falls down the mountainside in an avalanche of rock that I know he can't survive. From the way Bade cries beneath us, she knows it too. My hand trembles as I sheath the clean dagger at my ribs. The only blood to be found is on the rocks below, though I look at my hands as though they should be covered in death. Tern roars with the unmistakable sound of pride.
Lightning wielder!
Chapter 29. A quote from Major Ofendra's Guide to the Rider's Quadrant, unauthorized edition. The death of a cadet is an inevitable yet acceptable tragedy. This process thins the herd, leaving only the strongest riders. And as long as the cause of death does not break the codex, any rider involved in extinguishing another's life shall not be punished. We land in the flight field what feels like minutes later. Or maybe it's been a lifetime. I'm not sure. The ground shakes as dragons arrive to the left and right, the field quickly filling with celebrating riders from Fourth Wing and angry ones from First. The dragons take off as soon as their riders dismount, with the exception of Endarna, who waits between Tern's forelegs as I fumble with the buckles. Jack is dead. I killed him. I'm the reason his parents will get a letter. The reason his name will be etched into stone.
Across the field, Garrick lifts the crystal egg above his head as Dane waves the flag, and those in fourth wing cheer, rushing toward the pair like they're gods. Taren's weight shifts beneath me as the last buckle slips through my fingers, and I slide out of the saddle. My head swims, stress no doubt bringing on the dizzy spell that makes it hard to keep my balance as I make my way to his shoulder and dismount. I stumble in the mud, hitting my knees when I reach where Indarna lies between Taren's forelegs, clearly exhausted. Tell me Liam is alive. Tell me it was worth it.
Day says that he lives. The sword went through his side, Taren says.
Good. Good, that's good. Thank you, Indarna. I know how much that cost you. I look up into her golden eyes, and she blinks slowly back.
Worth it.
Nausea holds me in its grip, and my mouth waters.
Killed him. I killed him.
Damn, Sorengale, Sawyer calls out. Lightning? You've been holding out on us. Lightning I used to take a life. My stomach heaves and a dark shadow envelops me, but it's not Zayden. Taren has folded his wings over us, closing out the world while I retch up everything I've eaten today.
You did what was necessary,
Taren says, but it doesn't stop my stomach from clenching and tightening again, trying its best to force up what's not even there.
You saved your friend,
Indarna adds. Finally, my stomach settles, and I force myself to my feet, dragging the back of my hand over my mouth.
You need to get some rest, don't you? I'm proud that you're mine,
Andarna's voice wavers, the blinks of her eyes becoming slower.
Even if I need a bath.
Taren draws back his wings, and Indarna walks forward, then launches into the sky with steady wing beats toward the Vale. I stare up at the saddle. I need to get him out of this so he can rest too. But all I can think is that I finally have a signet, a real, true signet. And the first thing I did with it was kill a man.
Violet, Dane appears on my left. That was you with the lightning strike? The one that took down the tower?
The one that killed Jack. I nod, thinking of all the times I aimed for the shoulder instead of the heart. The poisons I used to incapacitate, not murder. I left Orin unconscious on the ground at threshing and didn't even go for the throat when he invaded my room. All because I didn't want to be a killer.
I've never seen anything like it.
I don't think there's been a lightning wielder in more than a century. He pauses.
Violet?
I killed him,
I whisper, studying the central chest plate of the saddle. That has to be where everything connects, right? He has to get out of this thing somehow. Mom will be so proud to know I'm just like the others now. Just like her. My empty belly turns over again, and I retch like my body is trying to expel the guilt.
Shit, he rubs his hand over my back. It's all right, Vi.
It stops sooner this time, and Dane pulls me against his chest, rocking gently as his hand makes soothing motions up and down my spine.
I killed him.
Why the hell is that all I can say? I'm a broken music box repeating the same melody over and over, and everyone can see me. Everyone knows I can't handle the consequences of my own signet.
I know. I know.
He presses a kiss to the top of my head.
And if you don't want to use that kind of power again, you don't have to.
Get the fuck away from her with that nonsense. Zayden pushes Dane's chest and tugs me out of his arms, then grips my shoulders, turning me to face him.
You killed Barlow.
I nod.
Lightning. Your signet is lightning, isn't it?
He looks at me with such intensity, as though my answer is the key to whatever he needs.
Yes.
His jaw flexes, and his head bobs once.
I thought so, but I wasn't sure until I saw you take that tower down.
He thought so? What the hell does that even mean?
Listen to me, Sorengale.
He lifts one hand to stroke loose tendrils of hair behind my ear, his touch surprisingly gentle.
The world is a better place without Barlow in it. We both know that. Do I wish I'd been the one to end his miserable life? Absolutely. But what you did will save countless others. He was nothing more than a bully, and was only going to get worse as he grew more powerful. His dragon will choose another rider when she's ready. I'm glad he's dead. I am glad you killed him.
I didn't mean to. It's barely a whisper. I was just so fucking mad, and we'd just caught Liam. I thought my relic was backlashing, finally. My eyes widen. It was close, Satan. It was too close. I had to do something.
Whatever you did is what kept him alive.
His thumb strokes over my cheek, the motion completely at odds with his tone, and his eyes flare just enough that I know he's aware of what I did.
I don't want this, I blurt. Rhiannon can move objects through space, and Dane has retrocognition.
Hey, Dane snaps. You think I didn't know that already? Zayden barks over his shoulder.
Kaori can bring his imagination to life, and Sawyer can bend metal. Mira can extend the wards. Everyone has a signet that isn't just useful for battle. They're tools for good in the world. And what the hell am I, Zayden? I'm a fucking weapon!
You don't have to use your power, Vi.
Dane starts, his voice soft and comforting.
Stop fucking coddling her.
Zayden bites out every word at Dane.
She is not a child. She's a full-grown woman, a rider. Start treating her like one, and at least have the decency to give her the truth. You think Melgrin or any other general, to include her own mother, is going to let her sit on a power like this? It's not like she can hide it, not the way she just demolished one of the practice forts.
You just want her to be like you, Dane argues, a cold-blooded killer. Soon you'll be telling her that it's all right. You get used to the killing. I inhale a sharp breath. Zayden nails him with a glare.
The blood in my veins is as warm as yours, Atos. And if it's my job you want next year, then you'd better start understanding that you never get used to killing. But you do understand that it's necessary.
He turns back to me, his dark gaze boring into mine. This isn't primary school. This is war. And you heard me say it once before, but the ugly truth those not on the front lines choose to forget is there are always body bags in war.
I start to shake my head, but his eyes narrow on mine.
You might not like it, might even loathe it, but it's power like yours that saves lives.
By killing people? I cry.
If Sigale is right and signets reflect who we are at our core, then I'm exactly as Zayden nicknamed me.
Violence.
By defeating invading armies before they get the chance to hurt civilians. You want to keep Rhiannon's nephew alive in that little border village? This is how. You want to keep Mira alive when she's behind enemy lines? This is how. You are not just a weapon, Sorengale. You are the weapon. You train this ability. Own it, and you'll have the power to defend an entire kingdom.
He smooths back more wind-loosened tendrils of my hair behind my ears, clearing my vision so I have no excuse but to see the honesty in his eyes. When he's sure I'm not going to argue further, he looks to his side.
Rhiannon, can you get her back to the Citadel?
Absolutely, Rhiannon hustles over. Dane scoffs and walks toward the other squad leaders, leaving us.
The saddle! I start.
Tarn can get it off himself.
It was one of his many design stipulations. Zayden turns to leave, but pauses.
Thank you for saving Liam. He's important to me.
You don't have to think. I sigh at his back. And he's already gone.
You two have the weirdest relationship, Rhiannon says, linking her arm with mine.
We're not in a relationship. I look at Taryn, who surprisingly held his tongue through whatever that was with Zayden and Dane.
Go,
Taryn urges.
But do not wallow in guilt, Silver One. Whatever you feel is natural. Allow yourself to feel it, but then let it go. The wing leader made a valid point. With a signet like that, you are the best hope the kingdom has against the hordes of evil that seek to harm it. Rest, and I will see you tomorrow. I'll get my own saddle off.
You're most definitely in a relationship, Rhiannon continues, tugging me off the field. I just can't figure out if it's the opposites attract partnership that has you two bearing claws, or the slow, lethal burn of scalding sexual tension. She glances sideways at me.
Now, tell me how the hell you two moved that fast out there.
What do you mean?
When Liam was falling, Fierge and I flew as fast as we could, but I knew we'd be too slow given our angle and speed, and I thought you...
She shakes her head.
It just looked like you were high above him one second and had him in the next. I've never seen a dragon fly that fast. It's like I blinked and missed it.
Now guilt bites into me for a whole other reason.
Rhiannon is my friend. My closest one here, if I'm being honest about what Dane and I have become. Of everyone she should know.
Do not feel guilt that you cannot tell her. This secret belongs to dragonkind, not you, Taryn warns. No one has the right to risk our hatchlings. Not even you, Silver One.
Taryn is really fast, I say in way of explanation. It's not a lie, but it isn't the full truth either.
And thank gods for it.
Zanal must really love Liam, cheating death twice today. But it wasn't Liam who cheated death. It was me. And I can't help but wonder if somewhere, on some plane of existence, Malik sits on his throne, angry that I stole a soul from his grasp. But then again, I gave him Jax. Of course, it might have broken mine forever.
The wooden target in my room wobbles as one of my daggers sinks into the wood beside the last one I threw. I might be angry with the world, but at least my aim isn't off. If I miss, there's a good chance the blade is flying out the window, considering where I have the target propped up on the wall. I throw three more, rapid fire, and hit the throat of the person-shaped target every single time. What's the point of going for shoulders anymore if I'm already taking people out with bolts of lightning? What was my restraint for? With a flick of my wrist, I send the next dagger soaring, putting it straight through the figure's forehead, just as there's a knock at my door. It's either Rhiannon asking for the 10th time if I want to talk about what happened today, or it's Liam. I pause. It can't be Liam, checking to see if I'm actually turned in for the night, because Liam is still in the infirmary, healing from the sword he took to the side. Come in. Who cares if I'm in nothing but my dressing gown? It's not like I can't strike an intruder dead with a knife. Or lightning. The door opens beside me, but I don't bother looking as I throw another dagger. That height, that hint of dark hair I catch in my peripheral vision, that incredible scent, I don't even need to look fully. My body tells me it's Zayden. Then, my body reminds me exactly what it feels like to have his mouth on mine, and my stomach flutters. Shit, I'm too on edge to deal with him or the way he makes me feel tonight.
Imagining that's me? He asks, shutting my door and leaning back against it, folding his arms across his chest. Then he does a double take, his heated gaze roaming over my body. Suddenly, the spring breeze coming through the open window isn't enough to cool my skin. Not when he's looking at me like that. My long braid swings across my back as I take another dagger off my dresser. No, but it was you about 20 minutes ago. Who is it now? He raises a brow, crosses one ankle over the other. No one you know. With a flick of my wrist, the next blade goes through the sternum. Why are you here? I glance his way just long enough to note that he's bathed and wearing our standard uniform instead of flight leathers, and definitely not long enough to note how fucking good he looks. Just once I'd love to see him disheveled or unnerved, anything outside that calm control he wears like armor. Let me guess, since Liam is out of commission, it's your duty to lecture me about sleeping in plain cotton. I didn't come to lecture you, he says softly, and I can feel the warmth of his gaze like a caress as it rakes over the thin black straps of my dressing gown. But I can definitely see that you're not wearing your armor. No one is going to be ridiculous enough to attack me now. I take another dagger from the dresser, my pile dwindling. Not when I can kill them from 50 yards away. Tapping the end of the razor-sharp weapon, I pivot slightly, just enough to face him. Do you think it works inside? I mean, how does someone wield lightning if there's no sky? Keeping my eyes locked on his, I fling the dagger at the target. The satisfying sound of split wood tells me I hit true. Fuck, that's hotter than it should be. He pulls in a deep breath. I think that's something you'll have to figure out. His gaze drops to my mouth and his arms tense. You're not going to step in and say you can train me? You can save me? I click my tongue and have the absolutely ridiculous urge to run it up the lines of the relic on his neck, tracing the intricate pattern. How very un-Zayden of you. I have no clue how to train a lightning wielder. And from what I witnessed today, you don't need saving. There's pure longing in his eyes as he scans the length of my body from my bare toes to the hemline that skirts my thighs, over my breasts to my neck, finally reaching my eyes. Only for myself, I mutter. The things I think about doing to him when he looks at me like that would surely ruin me. And tonight, I'm not sure I care. That's a dangerous combination. So then why are you here, Zayden? Because I can't seem to stay away. He sounds anything but pleased by the admission, but my breath catches anyway. Shouldn't you be out there celebrating? Everyone else is. We won a battle, not a war. He pushes off the door and takes a single step, closing the distance between us, and lifts my braid from over my shoulder, slowly rubbing his thumb along the strands. And I figured you might still be upset. You told me to get over myself, remember? So why the fuck would you care if I'm upset? I fold my arms across my chest, choosing anger over lust. I told you that you'd have to develop a stomach for killing. I never said you'd get over it. He drops my braid. I should, though, right? I shake my head and retreat into the center of the room. We spend 3 years here learning how to become killers, promoting and praising those who do it best. He doesn't even flinch, just watches me in that observant, infuriatingly calm way of his. I'm not mad that Jack is dead. We both know he's wanted to kill me since Parapet, and eventually he would have. I'm mad that him dying changes me. I tap my chest right above my heart. Dane told me that this place strips away the niceties to reveal who someone really is.
Not going to argue there.
He watches me as I begin to pace. And I just keep thinking that when I was younger, I asked my dad what would happen if I wanted to be a rider like Mom or Brennan. And he told me that I wasn't like them, that my path was different. Except this place has peeled away my civility, my niceties, and it turns out my power is more destructive than any of theirs. I stop right in front of him and hold up my hands. And it's not like I can blame this power on Taryn. Not that I would. Signets are based on the rider, just fueled by the dragon, which means this has always been there under the surface, just waiting to be unleashed. And to think, a knot forms in my throat. All this time, I had this tiny, driving hope that I would be like Brennan. And that would be the twist in my little fable, that my signet would be mending, and I could put all the broken things back together. But instead, I'm made to split them apart. How many people will I kill with this?
His eyes soften. As many as you choose. Just because you gained power today doesn't mean you lost agency.
What is wrong with me? I shake my head, my hands clenching into fists. Any other rider would be thrilled. Even now, I feel the power simmering just beneath my skin.
You've never been like any other rider. He moves closer but doesn't touch me. Probably because you never wanted to be here.
Gods, I want him to touch me, to wipe away the ugliness of the day, to make me feel something, anything but this welling shame. None of you wanted to be here. I glance pointedly at the rebellion relic on his neck. You're all doing just fine.
He looks at me. Really looks. And it feels like he sees entirely too much. Most of us would burn this place to the ground if we had the option. But every marked one wants to be here, because it's our only path for survival. It's not the same for you. You wanted a quiet life full of books and facts. You wanted to record the battles, not be in them. There is nothing wrong with you. You get to be angry that you killed a man today. You get to be angry that man tried to kill your friend. You get to feel however you want within these walls. He's close enough now that I can feel his body heat through the thin cotton of my dressing gown. But not outside them. It's not a question. We're riders, he says, as if that's explanation enough. He takes hold of my hands and brings them to his chest. So do whatever you need to get it out. You want to yell? Yell at me. You want to hit something? Hit me. I can take it. Hitting him is the last thing I want to do. And suddenly, I'm done fighting it. Come on, he whispers. Show me what you've got. I surge up on my toes and kiss him.
Chapter 30. A quote from Article 5, Section 7, the Dragon Rider's Codex.
Though not forbidden, cadets are strongly encouraged not to develop strong romantic attachments while studying in the quadrant for the efficiency of the unit. His body goes rigid for one beat, two, and then he spins us impossibly fast, putting my back against the door, jostling the frame.
Whoa.
He captures my wrists in one hand and holds them prisoner above my head.
Violet.
Zayden groans against my mouth. The plea in his tone floods my veins with a whole different form of power. Knowing he's just as affected by our attraction as I am is a rush.
This isn't what you want. It's exactly what I want, I counter. I want to replace the anger with lust, the death of the day with the pulse-pounding assurance of my own life. And I know he's capable of delivering all that and more. You said to do whatever I need. I arch my back, pressing the tips of my breasts against his chest. His breathing changes, and there's a war in his eyes that I'm determined to win. It's time to stop dancing around this unbearable tension and break it. He leans down, his mouth only inches from mine. And I'm telling you that I'm the last thing you need. The barely leashed growl of his voice rumbles up through his chest, and every nerve ending in my body flares to life. Are you suggesting someone else? My heart races as I chance calling his bluff. Fuck no. The unmistakable flare of jealousy narrows his eyes for a heartbeat before his hips pin mine to the door, and my instant relief at his answer is replaced by a jolt of pure lust. I can see that infamous control of his hovering on the edge, balancing precariously on the point of a knife. All he needs is one little push, and I'm about to shamelessly shove. Good. I tilt my head up to his and draw his bottom lip between mine, sucking before gently nipping him with my teeth. Because I only want you, Zayden. The words breach something within him, and he gives. Finally. Our mouths collide, and the kiss is hot and hard and completely out of our control. Need streaks down my spine as he takes my ass in his hands and hauls me against his hips, my back raking the ridges of the door behind me as I use it as leverage to push closer to his strength. I wrap my legs around his waist and lock my ankles. My dressing gown rises with the motion, but I don't care, not with the all-consuming way he's kissing me. The caress of his mouth and the strokes of his wicked tongue steal every logical thought, and my world narrows to this kiss, this minute, this man. Mine. In this moment, Zayden Ryerson is mine. Or maybe I'm his. Who fucking cares as long as he keeps kissing me? Heat floods my body in an addictive rush, setting every inch of my skin aflame as his mouth slides down my neck in a sensual assault that makes me moan. Gods, he says against my throat, and then we're moving. Wood scrapes the floor and crashes before my ass hits the desk, and my ankles fall from the small of his back when he leans over me, spearing his fingers through my hair at the nape of my neck as he takes my mouth again. I kiss him back with a hunger I've only known with him. My hands fly back to brace my weight, knocking anything and everything out of my way, sending whatever careening to the floor. The clock stops ticking. You'll hate me in the morning. You don't really want this. He punctuates each word with a kiss along my jaw, making his way to my ear. He bites the lobe, and my core liquefies, going molten. Stop telling me what I want. I breathe raggedly and thread my fingers through the short strands of his hair, tilt my head, giving him better access. He takes it, working his way down my neck to where it curves into my shoulder. Fuck, that feels good. Every touch of his mouth to my heated skin is flame to kindling. And I suck in a sharp breath when he lingers on a sensitive spot, taking his time. But then he stills again, his breath hot and wet against the side of my neck. My brow furrows with an unwelcome thought. Unless you don't want me. Does this feel like I don't want you? He takes my hand and slides it between our bodies, and my fingers curl around his length through his leathers. I whimper with pure want at the feel of how hard he is for me. I always fucking want you,
He groans as I squeeze. Then he lifts his head, seizes my gaze with his, and I recognize the wild need in those gold-flecked depths. It mirrors my own. You walk into a room, and I can't look away. I get anywhere near you, and this is what happens. Instantly hard. Fucking hell. I can barely think when you're around. He rocks his hips into my hand, and my grip tightens along with my stomach. Wanting you is not the problem here. Then what is? I'm trying to do the honorable thing and not take advantage of you after you've had a shit day. His jaw flexes. I smile and kiss the side of his mouth. It's always a shit day around here. And it's not taking advantage when I'm asking. My teeth nip at his lips. Correction. Begging you to make my day better. Violet. He says my name like a warning, as if he's something I should be wary of. Violet. He only says my name when it's just the two of us, when all the walls and the pretenses fall away, and gods, if I don't want to hear it again and again, just like that. I don't want to think, Zayden. I just want to feel. I release him. One tug of the ribbon is all it takes to unravel the long, loose braid of my hair, and I run my fingers through the mass. His eyes darken, and I know I've won. Fuck me, this hair, he says, then hovers his mouth over mine. And this mouth, all I ever want to do is kiss you, even when you piss me off. So kiss me. I arch into him and claim his lips, kissing him like this might be the only time I'll get the chance. This kind of desperation isn't natural. It's a wildfire that's likely to burn us both to the ground if we let it. The kiss is blatantly, deliciously carnal, and I melt against him, matching every thrust of his tongue with mine. He tastes like mint and Zayden, and I can't get enough. He's the worst kind of addiction. Dangerous and impossible to sate. Tell me to stop, he whispers.